Caduceus Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the power of desire. Before we get started, I just want to let you know that we have a special offer from Lucis Trust, which we'll be mentioning a little bit later and going into a little greater depth on it. In the meantime, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear from on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought: underlying the entire psychological problem of humanity as a whole lies that major attitude towards existence which we characterize as desire. All lesser complexities are based upon this basic urge. The power of desire suggests that it can be good or bad. Is that true?
Yes. I suppose we should start off with a focus on the problems associated with desire. As the opening thought from Alice Bailey implies, it's such a fundamental basic urge that it really permeates all aspects of life. And I think a lot of people aren't even aware of how much their actions and choices and decisions are mobilized by desire on some level or another. It's said that at the base of each passion is contained a spark of energy. So desire is really a type of energy or force that enables one to mobilize his resources, his will, his emotions, his thoughts, or whatever, to go after something. And it makes progress possible in that sense. But for most of humanity, the quality of desire is fixated on the realm of form, and particularly on money and acquisition. Money, you could say, is the basic symbol of desire, and it drives so many people forward toward whatever their wants are, whatever their desires for goods and possessions are, for material comfort, for the accumulation of more and more stuff. Then it augments itself into a desire for power and the supremacy, dominance over others that money alone can give one. And this kind of desire absolutely dominates human thinking. You could say it's the keynote for our modern civilization. And interestingly, Alice Bailey wrote that it's also the octopus that is slowly strangling human life, because it's like a millstone around the neck of humanity, and we don't even recognize it.
Yeah, I think that's the point, that we don't see what's happening to us because we're so deeply involved in it and we're so deeply imprisoned by it, by this urge to, a desirous urge to buy things or to acquire things and to hold on to things. And it's, if you really think about it, the whole world economy kind of depends on a constant stimulation of our desire nature, which is what advertising does, and what advertising depends on, stimulating this emotional desire in nature that everyone has. And so we're constantly bombarded with the desire to by things, material things, which tend to bring a temporary feeling of happiness, perhaps, but only until the credit card bill comes in, and then it's you begin to realize, what have I done?
It promotes a kind of an aggression in people that we think of as normal. The normal way to do business, for example, is aggressive, to get ahead of the next guy, to outdo the competition, to grab more before your competition gets it, to corral more of whatever you're after for yourself, for you and yours. And behind that is the basic mobilizing value of, I want something, I take it. It's acquisitive and it's aggressive. And you can see even very small children dominated by this. They take each other's toys. I can remember myself embarking on a life of crime when I was about when I was about 5 or 6. There was some little toy on the desk of a schoolmate of mine, and I remember to this day wanting it, and I took it. And I paid dearly for it. I followed up with another theft of a toy watch, and when my mother found out, there was hell to pay, so to speak, and I left the life of crime behind. But it's a powerful urge, and little children are mobilized by it, but so are adults. According to the Ageless Wisdom, the problem centers on the fact that we take the outer material plane as the only reality. We don't see behind the outer levels of life on Earth to the more subjective, subtle planes of existence. And because we don't see those planes, this outer world is, we think, all that's real. And so we want everything that goes with this outer world that makes us feel good. If it gives us pleasure, satisfaction, we want more of it. If it causes us pain or discomfort, we want to be free of it. Both are types of desire.
And we keep trying to acquire more and more of this until we reach and probably never do reach a state of satiety or a fullness. And so that just constantly feeds this desire nature, and it has to be constantly fed to keep it alive.
Do you not think that we, especially in the developed Western nations, are reaching a point of satiety?
Well, yes, many people are, I think, more and more today. But you look at the advertising and on the TV and the radio, and especially in the print, and especially aimed at children, mm-hmm. Who are very vulnerable to advertising, and as every parent knows. And it just starts at such an early age that it's very difficult to ever get out of that pattern. And so I think that that's the real dilemma we're in. We're in this cyclic pattern that it's very difficult to get off this wheel.
And yet there are ways to free ourselves from it.
Mm,
and
yes.
The teaching of the Buddha and of the Christ offer us guidelines. Coming back to that thought I mentioned, at the base of each passion is contained a spark of energy without which no progress is possible. So that implies that latent within the prison of desire is the seed of pure will. And when the will is awakened, it can overcome desire. It takes enormous discipline and enormous awareness of what one's energies and motivations are. It's a deliberate effort that's required, and a great deal of time is needed.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because there is a direct connection between will and desire. Desire is the lower reflection of will. And so it's not that desire is by itself is so bad. It is just the extent to which desire drives us and controls us that what makes it bad, because desire is part of the nature of the soul. It desires, not in the same way that we human beings do, but the soul on its own plane has its own desires, has its own plans to work out, and so it in a way, the fact that we are responding to desire in the way we do is evidence that we are responding to that soul urge of desire for expression in a physical form.
There's a kind of an evolution of desire that every human being passes through. It begins with a desire for material possessions. Then it works up to a desire to possess what others have. And that's where the commandment, thou shalt not steal, comes in, where my life of crime was centered, taking something that didn't belong to me. Then it's followed by personality ambitions, the desire to be a success in life in whatever field you are drawn toward. And that is not necessarily bad. A lot of people accomplish great things through their desire to be successful. But it is a type of desire, and it is a fostering of the personality, of the separate self. But these are followed by an awakening of a spiritual aspiration that I think comes when one is at a point of satiation with material things. When you have everything you thought you wanted and you still come up feeling empty, then you are at a point of redirecting that desire into a kind of spiritual aspiration. And that leads to the various progressive steps along the path that involve purification, so that one's desires can be sublimated, I guess the word is, toward higher and more refined goals. And it culminates finally in initiation, entrance into the kingdom of God. All of those steps are stages of desire.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, The Power of Desire. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. And the offer is Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It was one of the first books that I started off with, and it gave me an idea of which topics to go back to, because in Ponder on This you get more or less an abridged version of all the topics in all of the Alice Bailey books, and so this way you can arrange a priority and follow your interests as after you read Ponder on This, you can explore it in greater depths in some of the other books. And once again, it's called Ponder on This. The special offer comes in the form of a discount on, well, actually free shipping and handling. So you're paying for the price of the book is the entire payment. And it's $16. What you need to do if you want this offer, if you want to take advantage of it, you send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing. That's check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's check or money order, $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And mention that you heard it on Inner Sight. That's how you will get the free shipping and handling. We also need your help. We need your support. We appreciate the support you've given us financially in the past, because all of the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air, and those deductions are tax deductible. And if you'd like to donate, you can send your donations to Lucis Trust. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We also are very very willing to accommodate you in the respect of your inquiries about Lucis Trust, and we have a general package of information that you can acquire from us. What you have to do is call on the toll-free number and ask for the general package of information, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York Lucis. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and you can key into our entire library of archived radio shows by keying into that website, www.lucistrust.org. I was wondering, do you happen to remember from your readings of Alice Bailey or perhaps the literature about Buddha, what Buddha thought about desire? Do you remember what comments he made about it?
Yes. Well, it was part of his fundamental teaching. If you've ever heard of the Four Noble Truths, those center on his recognition that desire was the base of human suffering. Mm-hmm. And he said that the way out of suffering is to cease identifying with material things or desires and gain a proper sense of value. Cease regarding possessions and earthly existence as of all consuming importance and follow the noble eightfold path of right relations, which begins with right values and which culminates in right happiness or right rapture. So his whole message was that the cessation of suffering is achieved by giving up desire for material possessions, for earthly life. And he taught that when we focus our whole being upon that which is material and therefore transitory and ephemeral, we will inevitably suffer. And the only way we free ourselves from that is to enter into reality.
And it's not an easy thing to do, to rid yourself of desire or to lessen the impact or the power of desire, because there are definite things that one has to do. One has to take oneself in hand and really look at yourself objectively and say this and this and this, and every time your desire nature crops up and you have desire to buy this and that, then you have to take a step back and really look at it objectively and say, do I really need this thing? Or for those who are close to the path, I think there are different stages that one can one can go through different steps and practices. Well,
there's the stage of wanting more stuff or more fame or more success in the worldly sense, but there are higher stages that are still dominated by desire, like the achievement of a deeply felt goal or ambition that might, you believe, do something good for the world. But it's still a form of desire if you are trying to manipulate circumstances and coerce people into cooperating with you to reach your goal. If you are trying to force something into being, you are working with desire rather than the spiritual will. Because the true spiritual will is submission, in a sense, utter cooperation and acceptance of the divine plan, and therefore, by implication, of your part in that divine plan. When one is able to grasp some fragment of the plan and one's part in it, nothing needs to be forced. Nothing needs to be rammed through. Nothing needs to be manipulated. There is an energy that's released that inevitably brings about right outcome. That's quite different from desire.
And I think one of the first things to do is to take the focus off your little self and to extend your focus outward towards others, towards helpful service to other people or to other ideas or other plans. And that begins to shift your focus away from yourself, away from what you desire. And actually, your desire may shift to the desire to help humanity or the desire to help your community or the desire to serve in some way. And this begins to take the emphasis off your own personal self, and pretty soon the desire for these personal things begin to fade away. So you don't have to really fight it so much as it is substitute something better for that old kind of desire, which it really keep you imprisoned.
And yet there's another kind of desire that centers on other people that's also desire. For example, so many parents desire a better life for their children. They aren't thinking about themselves, but they desire everything for their children's happiness. And they know exactly what the children need to achieve that will make them happy, or the parents believe they know that. They create a vision of circumstances and goals for their children, and everything is mobilized to help those children realize those goals, whether or not the child would have selected them himself on his own. That usually is not considered. The parent knows what the child needs to be happy or thinks he does and desires it so deeply that it becomes a kind of crippling prison house, and yet the parent isn't focused on himself anymore. So even there, desire, when it's focused on one's closest loved ones, can also be a kind of imprisonment. I don't think you're referring to that when you say think of others.
No, when I say think of others, I think of it in terms of serving, because that's what's suggested in the Bailey material, and she's right. It's getting the focus off the little self and extending it outward into the world, and by doing that, then those personal desires begin to fade away, and the whole thing dies of attrition. So it's not something that you have to really fight doing, but it's a matter of substitution, substituting something, a better desire or a better focus for the personal one.
And it comes back again to the realization that the soul has a plan and a part to play in the unfoldment of evolution. And when one begins to gain some sense of what that part is, then desire ceases because the will takes over. For example, the parent who desires for his child a happy life with a thought or a vision of what that child needs to be happy, that's quite different than the parent who strives to help the child's soul make its intention for this lifetime clear to the child. Every child comes into the world with some goal that the soul has set for it. And it would seem to me that being a parent is to help that child awaken to what his soul's purpose is. That's not the same as desire focused on a child. It's helping the child become a conscious soul.
Well, yes, it's there again. It's working at the soul level and trying to stimulate the power of the soul, and so that the soul begins to gain control over this desire nature. And I think that's probably a key word, too, is the word control. Who is in control here? Are you being controlled by advertising and what you see on television, all this stuff to buy? Or are you in control of yourself, and do you have the mind and capacity to say, no, I don't need this? And it's a matter of focusing on the soul, because that's where the basic impulse is coming from in the first place.
Maybe there would be an exercise that we all could try that would ask ourselves, if I want to upgrade or sublimate my desires to a higher level, what can I aspire to that would not have any consequences on the material plane? What do I most want out of life that has no material substance to it? Not money, not goods, not physical plane achievements, not ambition, not fame, not recognition. When all of those are set aside, do I most want? What am I living for that has no relation at all to the outer planes of substance? Trying to identify that mobilizing drive might be a way to begin to see what desire is.
Right. And it's taking a close look at desire itself as a basic urge. As we said earlier, that desire is a good thing in some respects, because there wouldn't be any forward movement without desire.
I mean,
if the soul didn't have desire, even God, they say, has desire, and Christ is said to be the desire of all nations. I mean, he was given that title. So desire is necessary, but up to a point, it's beyond that point, it can become imprisoning and destructive.
I wonder if one thinks about the soul's intention for a particular lifetime. Maybe my soul's intention is to love. My desire is to love more. Or my desire is to be more selfless in my relationships to my fellow men. Or my desire is to be more energetic in all that I do, more dynamic in my use of my resources and energies. These are ways to elevate the desire that can be very liberating. And I think that we are given the guidelines for this in the teaching of the Buddha and the Christ, the Buddha who taught that the identification with material things is what keeps us miserable because we can never get enough of it. And that we need to regain or restructure our sense of values to figure out what's really important in life.
Yes, and it goes right back to what Christ was emphasized, need to advise a life of service and self-sacrifice, of self-forgetfulness and the love of all beings.
And in fact, that's the way of happiness.
Absolutely.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, which is the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, and special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so you're actually paying for the book, which is $16. So if you'd like to take advantage of the offer, send it to check or money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you'd like the general package of information, give us a call, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called The Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.